Nice to have all the people that Andrew, when we planted Malmesbury, good evening everybody, those that I haven't greeted at the door, welcome. Huh? But from someone's advice. Yeah. My wife wants to complete my story for me. I'm starting at Malmesbury now. She's going, my Marcus had by someone's advice ook gespeel. When we started there in Malmesbury with the church plant, Andrew used to worship there with us sometimes. And I didn't know all the signals those time. I didn't know that this meant go on with what you're doing now. Just keep on with the refrain of the chorus. So I thought that meant go on to the next song. Because our congregation that time didn't understand all the English words. So I showed to Andrew, hey, go to the next song. So we sang that song for about 27 minutes, I think. Until someone realized, hey, just stop the song. And then Marcus and them, they were there at Somerset West when we planted the satellite service. So it's amazing to have you guys here. And thanks for blessing us. And Herkli and Magda, wat saam gespeel het. And drongen, thanks. That's very cool. Before we start, I just want to pray. I really sense there's a spirit of faith here tonight. And not on us, but especially in the blood of Jesus. I really sense to know that God wants to do something in each and every one of our lives. And I've had an expectancy for this series of freedom. And yeah, God just came this morning in Mossel Bay and it just exceeds it. And it's something that one lady in Mossel Bay said, but where's all the people? Because there weren't many people this morning. I said, but it's not about the people, it's what God does in us. So I want to encourage you. It's really a place of faith, but let's pray. Yes, Father, we thank you tonight that we can just come and we know that your heart is for us. And if you are for us, who can be against us, Lord? And I thank you, Lord, just for this series of freedom. And I just commit this night and I commit this whole 4 Sundays, including tonight, to you, Lord. And we ask God, come and do what you want to do in our lives. Lord, come and change tonight. I thank you, Lord, just for that spirit of faith here tonight, Lord, to be able to be open for that change. And I thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us bring our hearts, our lives before you tonight and say, God, come and do your work. Come and do the work that only you can do, that no man can do, that no church can do, that no one can do except you. And we open up our hearts and our lives to do for you to do that tonight. In the name of Jesus, all God's people say, amen. Okay, ek het vanoggend die mense mos so baie lekker laat huil. So if I do it tonight again to you, I'm very sorry. Maar ek's maar 'n cry baby. I nearly started crying again now. I broke my watch this morning. It fell off my arm and it broke in 2 places. So maybe that's a sign that I can just preach as long as I want to tonight. And tomorrow's a holiday, so then I can go. Huh? Is that right? Okay. I just wanted one yes, then I'll go for it. Okay. Yeah, we're starting with a series on freedom. And I thought I'm going to be very sophisticated. I'm going to get a definition of freedom. And then I looked into the dictionaries and I saw, ooh, nobody actually understands what freedom is about. If you look in good dictionaries, you'll see that there's 15 applications of the word freedom. There's freedom of press, there's freedom of this, there's freedom of that, there's freedom of no laws, there's freedom against gravity if you go into space and all those type of things. But nobody can actually define freedom and say, bam, this is freedom. So that's our challenge in the next 4 weeks is to actually come to God and say, Lord, define freedom to us. And it's something different and we have to look at the Word of God. It's not a definition that I can pull out of a dictionary. But we're going to look at some 4 places that we're going to look at. But before I start, freedom differs for each and every one of us. When I was 5 years old, if someone had to ask me, what is freedom about? I would have said, if I wake up one morning in my bed and there's 9.5 kilograms of chocolates and sweets lying around where my mom and dad just says, you can eat as much as you want. It will never, dat sal nooit opraak nie. For me, that 5 years old, that was freedom. If you start getting 16, 17 years old when you've got the most brains in the world, the teenagers, I was there, I had the most brains in the world at the age of 16 and 17, then freedom is where mom and dad says, we're going away for the weekend, the house is yours. And it goes on like that, and so raak ons ouer, and as we grow older, freedom becomes different to us. But there's one freedom that remains the same, and that's the freedom that's found in Christ. And that's what we're going to look over in the next 4 weeks. So I feel very sorry for those, all the visitors that came from Cape Town and Stellenbosch, some are even here from East London. Very welcome. I feel very sorry for you because you're going to enjoy it so much tonight. You are actually going to travel back the next 3 weekends, but it's okay. Speak to your congregations, ask them to give you petrol refunds and stuff like that. But you're most welcome. We're not going to exclude you. If you come here next Sunday and the Sundays after that, then Herkley will probably pull you into the worship team as well if you can play an instrument. Okay, well, I've got there four things on the board that I just want to speak about. That's freedom. And that's part of a definition that I could find that I think is basically found in the Word of God. The first one there is a state of being free. Because so many people want to define freedom, they want to define things of freedom, but they never enter a state of actually being free. Nelson Mandela, if you read his book, The Long Way to Freedom, The Long Way? Long Walk to Freedom. If you look at that, when he speaks about it, he was already free when he was in the prison because he could see the freedom. He was already in that state of being free. Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Galatians and specifically to the Philippians, he writes in a place in the Philippian book to the Philippians is so great, or the letter is so great, if you look at the context where it was written from. Apostle Paul, tied on his back, shackles on his hands, on his feet, he cannot even go to the loo, he has to lie there in his own pipi and stuff. And then he writes there and he says 17 times to the letter in Philippians, he says, again I say rejoice in the Lord, rejoice. Because he knew freedom. He had a state of being free. So this next 4 weeks is not going to be massive teachings. Ek gaan nie bombardeer en jy gaan jou intellect gaan dalk nie baie gestir raak nie. Your intellect won't be stirred much in the next 4 weeks, but your heart will be stirred. Because that's where freedom comes from. Freedom is a place in our mind as well, but most of it where our heart and our spirit start reuniting with what God has in store for us. And next week we're going to have dances. The week after that, we're going to have dances. We're going to have an international evangelist coming on the 22nd of August as well. We're going to have clips that we're going to show. We're going to have people testifying. So it's really going to be a place where we just come back to that place where God has called us for freedom, because that's what he has called us for. The second point there that says there, freedom is exemption from external control. It's exemption from external control. If you're a bit like me, you'll get excited when I like the ocean. When I'm close to the ocean, I get excited. But that's not freedom. That's pleasure. And so many times we neglect to understand what freedom and pleasure is all about. And when I was 16, 17, I thought freedom was having my own island with 4 breaks on every side. So it doesn't matter what wind blows, I'll have an offshore condition and the barrels will be on one side of the island, there will be good waves. That was freedom for me, but that was actually just pleasure. So it's in a place to understand that freedom comes from the inside out. Like Mr. Edwards, that one song that he sings, which he said, but it is the upside down kingdom. We have to lose your life to find it. We have to die to live. And to find freedom, we can never find it outside. Yeah, only from the inside. The third thing there is special rights of citizenship. And that's amazing when it comes to freedom, is to understand that when God calls us to freedom, he calls us to this special right of citizenship in his kingdom. And it's understanding what Apostle Paul and all the apostles had. They didn't have the education, they didn't have the things that was equipped for them to actually start the ministry, to start the church, but they had the freedom. They understood the freedom that God has called us for. And the fourth one there is acting without compulsion. And I think that's something that the body of Christ has missed, where we do not act without compulsion. We sometimes act because of compulsion. We feel, ooh, die Here het my geroep, nou moet ek al my goeders verkoop. Of I must go through the days because it's hard days, it's dark days out there. And we somber and we feel, but it's a place where God says, no compulsion in my kingdom. But when you come and you lay down your life, you lay it down by yourself and then you move with it. Then you run with it. But I'm going to just start off to say that we are all destined for freedom. The whole of George is destined for freedom. The whole of South Africa is destined for freedom. The whole of the world is destined for freedom, whether we know God or not. Luke 4 verse 18 to 19, Jesus speaks there. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Ek het geweer lees, en ek dink jy half te veel het nie geluister wat ek sê nie. Luke 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus speaking to the crowd there. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I say, Warren vat het, tenminste is die agterste ry wakker. Dankie Warren. And it's important to note there, what is so amazing is Jesus comes and he says that's his mandate. That's what he has come, that's why he was sent to earth for, is for that. For freedom, for every person to experience freedom. And it hasn't changed. The word of God says in Hebrews that Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. That is still Jesus' mandate. We last week we had Paul Creery levendig in die voortrekkersaal. Kan jy het glo, hè? That's actually Pastor Paul there from Stellenbosch. Just, we wanted to advertise him, but we thought we're going to freak people out if we say Paul Creer levendig in die voortrekkersaal. But he came last week and we had a nice service and he spoke to us about just being prophetic, speaking over George, speaking to that bones. And it was so amazing, people come up where me and Paul was actually scared that it's just going to be me and him and maybe one or two that's going to prophesy. And then the whole of the congregation just started getting words. And it was so amazing, this whole week those words have just been stuck in my head because it was such a proclamation in the Spirit. It's such a place, some of the words I can't remember now, but some of those words just calling the people that's caught up in drugs, calling those that's caught up between like trolleys and stuff that can't get to God's grace, calling those people out. And it's so amazing to know that's what God has called us for. Because when Jesus stood here, if you go read later there in Luke 4, the crowd actually wanted to throw Jesus off the cliff. And it was so amazing they surrounded him because he was reading, they thought he was blaspheming now because now he comes and he says, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And that the rulers of that day in the synagogue took him and they wanted to shove him off that cliff. And it's amazing what Luke 4 says. And as they walked, Jesus spoke to them and said, but this is what he's supposed to do. And then he just walked right through them. No one touching him, no one doing anything. Because he understood that's what he has called for. And he cannot go back to the Father unless that is accomplished. And that's the same. That's why Jesus hasn't returned yet. Because this thing is still in motion. This is still in the place where God says everyone needs to get this freedom. Everyone needs to understand this freedom that I have called the world for. God so loved the world. Not God so loved all the Christians that said yes to Jesus. Us too. Thank you. Or thankfully. But for the world. And it's so amazing to understand that God first wants to start with that freedom in us. And that's what this 4 weeks is all about. So we can be open for God to say, Lord, come and change. Come and renew. And maybe here tonight, maybe you've never even walked into that place where you could see Jesus. Maybe you've never even come to a place where you can see that Jesus is actually the one that brings freedom in your life and in my life. But tonight you will be able to see it. John 8 verse 36, I'm just giving some scriptures because the scriptures actually changes our lives. It's not my opinion. John 8 verse 36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Om daar nie gaan nou 'n groot amen hierop sê. But if preachers preach that Jesus Christ doesn't make you free, they're not preaching the gospel. Because Christ has come so that we can have freedom. And it says here, if Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. No church, no doctrine, no nothing. And it's amazing to note that if Christ does it, no one can take it away from us. No circumstance, nobody that says anything against our freedom, nothing. It's Christ that does it. I'm going to start reading, and it's a long passage, Luke 24, verse 13 to 35. Ons almal ken dalk die gedeelte, it's that the road to Emmaus where Jesus actually was resurrected from the dead. And it's not on the board, so yeah, you can just listen. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to show some of the passages again. It's Luke 24 from verse 13 to 33. Is that where Jesus was resurrected? And then he appeared to the two people walking on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem. Now they're very distraughted. They thought that Jesus is going to be the one that's going to redeem Israel, and now he's dead. And the worst thing is they actually went, the ladies went, Maria, Magdalene, and so went, and they brought the news to them that they went to the tomb and Jesus isn't there. And I'm going to read from verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. This morning I said Emmausy. Emmausy, Mousy. about 7 miles from Jerusalem. I'm just going to stop there. They were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Afrikaanse vertaling sê dit mooi, 12 kilometer. Now, I've never walked 12 kilometers before. The guys has talked me into a walking trail at the beginning of September. They've chosen a date, 9 to 11 September, 9-11. They're taking me on big heights and everything, so I said they must make sure that we're not superstitious on this walk. So I'm going to walk more than 12 k's on that walk, apparently, but I've never walked so far in my life. But they were walking 12 kilometers, verse 14. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them, verse 16, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus appeared to them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Verse 17, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor into Jerusalem? Or do you not know the things that had happened there in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, in the third day since it took place, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Jesus said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So it's amazing. I'm going to read further now. I'm just going to get the context. These two guys are walking with Jesus from Jerusalem. They start with their 12 kilometers. It's not noted where Jesus comes in. But if you walk 12 kilometers and you're downcast as they are, you don't walk very fast. You walk like that when you just went to the sale and they don't have your shoes that you wanted to buy on sale. And you've been getting your money together the last 4 months just to buy these shoes. And then they always have the number 11 and the 12 and the 9.5, but they don't have the 10. I wear a 10. And then you stand there and you're like just trying to figure out, didn't this 9 squash? It was a 10 that they squashed the sticker into a 9. And then unfortunately it's not. So they downcast, so they're walking very slow. And then Jesus comes and he actually reveals out of the Old Testament, starting with Moses, everything that the prophets have said concerning himself. So he's building a foundation there. And what's amazing to note is sometimes in our lives, God builds a foundation for us to understand his fullness. But we tend to miss that season. We tend to think, but whoo. Because now he's speaking to these two oaks. They're downcast. And I think they could probably think, okay, we see the owner. Now he's telling all this prophetic stuff to us and what Jesus was supposed to do and things. We probably would have, ons moes net stil gebly het en gesê het, we hope that he would redeem Israel because now this oak is going off. He's probably a teacher in the fivefold ministry because they're not recognizing him. And then it says there in verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. So Jesus was a good actor there as well. But they urge him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. So he comes and he breaks bread. Verse 31. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And that's what I speak about. Sometimes we come into God builds a foundation in our lives so that we can see his glory. These guys were downcast. They didn't want to believe anything that the prophets had spoken because they hoped that Jesus would redeem Israel. So what Jesus did, he just confirmed those hopes again by speaking from the days of Moses, all the prophets concerning himself. And then he comes prophetically as he breaks that bed, being like this body that was broken on the cross. He says, boof, now you can see me. And as they recognized him, whoop, oh God, Jesus weer. And it says there in verse 32, they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? There's a burning of our hearts that happens when Jesus speaks to us. And then what's amazing, verse 33, they got up immediately and returned at once to Jerusalem. Now, you know, they didn't have a nice BMW like Fani, or a nice motorcycle, or a nice bicycle that they can even ride. They've just walked the whole day, 12 kilometers, because they invited Jesus in because the day was over. And when Jesus appeared to them, they recognized him for who he is. They stopped everything and they went to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what has happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And so many times in our own lives, God actually wants to come and he just wants to break that bread with us. He wants to come and open up. So many times there's been foundations in our lives that's been built in, but we don't recognize it. We don't recognize what God wants to do. But when Jesus comes and he just breaks that bread in our lives, that living bread of symbolizing himself, the living bread of life, we see him for who he is and our eyes open. Ek weet of julle op so 'n plek al was nie, maar ek sal baie keer op sulke plekke gewees. And I'm continually at those places because we learn new things about God and about his kingdom. And sometimes I think, this can't be true. And then one day my eyes just open and I see that aspect of God. I see that character of God. I see Jesus for who he is. And I'm going to quickly just speak about my testimony a bit. But before I go on, I just want us to see that scripture that I just want us to look at. Jesus opens our eyes. First and foremost, with everything in our lives, Jesus opens our eyes. Whether it's our born-again experience, whether it's a new revelation about him or about his kingdom or about his word, Jesus does it. The second point there, truth is Jesus. Truth is not a doctrine. It's not a thing that we learn at Bible school. Truth is Jesus. And the third one there, Jesus makes our hearts burn. When I get here on Sundays, I'm excited to worship God. Not because there's a great band coming from Cape Town and Somerset West coming to bless us. Or Herkli playing the drums or Magda on the piano, for instance. It's because Jesus is burning in my heart. And I come because I'm hungry. But if Jesus doesn't bring that burning in my heart, I just come with religious acts before him. And that's something the last 3 months that God has been challenging me with. He says, hy het vir my kom sê, Paul, waarvoor brand jou hart deesdae? For what is your heart burning nowadays? And I had to go sit still and I realized, shush, there's so many things that I want to make my heart burn except Jesus. And ek moes nogal baie keer, ek weet nie as julle so is soos ek nie, maar baie keer moet jy nogal goed repent. Al kree wat nou laas naweekie was, hier sommer when he phones people, like he had to phone his mom on the Friday evening and he only phones on the Sunday. And when he phones her, he goes, Mom, ek repent sommer al klaar. But it was a place for me to come in and say, Lord, but the only burn that can happen within me is not if the church happens. Because if I get excited because the church grows from 20 to 100 or 200 in a year or two's time, then that's not a true excitement. That's not freedom. That's not truth. It's not God that burned it. It was my own desires. It was my own accomplishments, my own will to see it accomplished to what it wants it to be. And of course, if the congregation grows to 100 or 200 in a year's time, I'm not going to be somber-faced. I'm going to be excited with it. But that's not where my burning in my heart comes from. Our burning of our hearts come from Jesus and from Jesus alone, nothing else. I just want us to focus there on that script, some of that parts that I read now. There's nou baie woorde wat ek lees vanaand, maar ek wil graag net dat die Here net iets establish in ons lewens. Verse 16, I just want to get it up there. But they were kept from recognizing him. Verse 21, but we have hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. So many of us have hopes. We've got that things in us that we carry with us every day. Volgende vers daarso. And it says there, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? I've been asking God the last 3 months, Lord, open your scriptures to me. Open your scriptures to me. Ek kan nie meer op en ek lê baie aan die lê net so in die bed. Sê my vrou vir my. Vroetel aapie. Slat sy my so in die rib. Because I'm just reading the word now. Ek het vanoggend weer 'n hele hoofstuk gelees of 'n hele boek gelees en ek broer, dit gat net. Because God's opening up again. But it's that place where 3 months ago I said, Lord, I realized with that passion of you burning in my heart, I want to quench it with other stuff. En beteken is dit die kleinste dinge, but that's where we have freedom. Because freedom is found in the center of God's will. And these two men walking on that road, they were in the center of God's will. And I believe that's what Jesus wanted to show each and every one of us walking. Because that's a road of life, a destiny where we're going to. Because they left Jerusalem because of the stuff that happened there. They didn't listen to their hearts and what God has already deposited in them. So Jesus had to go to them because if they didn't have anything to do in Emmaus. That's why they left it immediately and ran back to Jerusalem. Obviously to bring the good news that Jesus is alive, but they realized, man, we were going on the wrong way. And that's the grace of God. Whether we go 180 degrees the one way or 90 degrees the other way, God will bring us back into that place of the center of his will. It's so funny when the Cape Town team was here, when were they here? June, July, the Cape Town team was here for a weekend. They went up to East London to go bless the East London congregation. And then Rainer testified of his one friend. I actually know the guy. I think he's in the Tigerberg congregation now. He's a very, very passionate prayer. When he prays, he's like full of passion. And Here for under, Here door dry. And the one time they were really in the spirit. And then I won't mention his name. And he came up. Can we give a what? And he came up and he said, Lord, let us turn from our ways 360 degrees. And then obviously everybody started laughing and he couldn't understand. What is this all about? He thought this is a good turn that they're making. So sometimes being too passionate doesn't equate always. But it's a place of turning into that place where God wants us to actually see his power every day of our lives. Better as a sava leifi. And this, I'm going to share my testimony a bit tonight. Some of you actually don't know it. Some of you have heard it before. And it's really, I want to share it because I really felt tonight that that's what we want to establish starting off with this freedom series. Is to come with each and every one of us actually come and look at our own testimony where God has taken us out from. Because that is where that's where freedom was first seen. Is that when we get born again. And it's amazing, I was grown up in a normal family. This is a cliche, Christian family going to church. And I remember being about 15, 16 years old, and my greatest desire then of freedom was to not go to church on Sundays anymore. Because it killed me. I was always sitting there like, ooh, we went in a lack of church those days. And I remember that was my biggest desire. And when I was small, between 12 and 13, I was a very good boy. Everybody looked up to me. I was head boy of a primary school of over 1,000 pupils. I was the headmaster's, Witbroekie. He would mark the papers, the science papers and the mathematical papers. And then he would call me in because we were not supposed to know the marks. And he would call me in and say, hey, kokeki. And he would show me my mark. And I always ask, well, why is my thing lying on the top? And he says, no, man, it's ordered from the worst mark to the best mark. You're on top, don't worry. And that was the type of thing, the life that I led. So I was a good boy. But in a sense, it was fake because I was pleasing people. I was pleasing my parents, and it's good to please your parents. But I was pleasing it in the terms of to get something from them. And I think that is how I looked at God as well. I tried to please him with my religious acts when I was small, but it never worked because there was just no heart in it. I even sang in church when I was 14 years old in front of the church. I don't know how they approved my voice, but anyway, I got in. But many needless to say, there was no life in me. I would stand there and just shiver because I would just, and the best thing I was looking afterwards, people just come, hey, well done, Paul. That was what I would aspire to. And I grew up a bit. I was about 15, 16, and I started really questioning life. I questioned what God was all about. I questioned church. I questioned family life. I questioned everything. And I started going to a really hardcore state of rebellion where everything that I was being taught was bad. And I went to a down spiral. My life actually went into a massive down spiral. Every month it was worse and worse and worse. I moved from an A candidate to nearly a D candidate in the middle of matric. And it was at that stage in my life, my biggest dream then was to have my hair hanging below my shoulders and to have them in thick black dreads sitting there with the mana, the Rasta mana. But the only thing that we, and it's actually God's grace in a sense, the only way that I didn't become a Rasta those days because I couldn't lose my cigarettes. I couldn't stop smoking. And the Rastas told me, listen boy, if you want to become a real man, then you man must stop those nicotine man. And I was like, we were trying, me and my friends, we were trying to stop smoking cigarettes now. The other stuff we didn't try to stop, but anyway. And we moved into that place, and it was actually in a sense God's grace. Now I was growing up on the west coast there in Frydenburg. Now we moved on. Now I didn't want to do anything with God. And 3 weeks after I finished my matric, we went overseas because we were actually scared that I'm not going to pass matric. So we made sure that the date that we went over was before the matric results came out. And we thought, me and my one buddy thought, but okay, we're going to actually escape all our things now. We're going to London. Because I've heard there you'll lose all your sins there. But actually the converse. That what you bring along actually just becomes multiplied and multiplied with you. So I had a bad time in London. I was even there in the club scenes and all those things. I had my photos were in magazines because of my rover danserai and goeters and dinge. And it was, and I realized it was just dead. I was running away from everything. And I remember my dad, sometimes when we speak over the phone, he would ask, Buta, wanneer was jy laas in die kerk? Sê ek vir hom, hier is die kerk in die plek nie. Hy sê, mama, daar moet jy net 'n draai gemaak by 'n kerk of iets. Ek sê, hier is die kerk, hier is een die boom, maar het lyk meer soos museum as iets anders toe, daar is nooit mense daar binnen nie. En so het hy met sy briewe vir my, he wrote letters to me, and at the end of every letter, he will put in a scripture. I remember those scriptures actually kept me alive. He doesn't even know this, but those scriptures kept me alive through that time. So then I came back to study. I didn't want to study. I went into Stellenbosch. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to lose all these hippie stuff. So I left it, but it got replaced by Tassenberg. Then in Stellenbosch, everything gets replaced by Tassenberg. You get it in 750, 2 liter and 5 liter boxes or bottles or whatever. And I really started going, and that was just the order of the day. And then in my second year, I started experiencing, because I didn't believe in the power of God. All these people that talked, oh my, Jesus did and Jesus that. I just thought, it's just rubbish. But in a sense, God was just pulling me in. He was pulling me in the whole time. I've never had freedom. I was running around doing whatever I wanted to do. I've done everything in my life up till that stage that I've dreamt of or thought of. But there was never freedom. I would have the freedom in the moment, but when you lie in your bed at night, you're so empty, you're so dead, that alarm wakes up in the next morning and you feel, why are you here? And I kept going. God actually just kept me alive. And at the end of my second year, I remember my cousin had a big bag full of clothes that he dropped at us, and he had surf magazines in there. I love the ocean, so I thought, oh, I know, here are surf magazines, I'm going to start reading them. And I took out the 4 or 5 surf magazines, and out of it dropped a little booklet by Selvin Hughes. I think Selvin Hughes has already passed away. The First Steps in the Christian Faith, a 40-day disciple track thing. Small little booklet. And I looked at it and I thought, yeah, that's baie leeswerk hierdie. There's no way I'm going to read all this. But it's very small. I think you read, every day that you read is less than a minute probably. And I laid that night, I laid in my bed. And I've seen darkness, I've experienced darkness. We were in very bad circles. And the first time I've ever, it was my same room, it was actually at Frydenburg at my home. I was visiting there over the holidays with my mom and dad. That same room about 4 years ago, we had all these weird occultic music that the one of our friends listened. And I listened it in that room. And that was the first time that I actually felt the power of darkness, that 4 years before I picked up that little book. So my room wasn't a nice place for me. I didn't want to be there. And I laid in my bed that night, and I couldn't fall asleep. I love sleeping, so I normally fall asleep easily. I couldn't fall asleep, and it was about 3:30 that morning. I still looked at the clock. And there was a small voice in my head that said, just read day one of that book. That's all that the voice kept repeating in my mind. So about 3:45, I thought, okay, I'm going to switch on this light. I'm going to read that first day. And all that the first day said is that every person that's ever born on this earth is clueless. And every person needs Jesus. It's all that it said. Hooked me. The next day I read number 2. I read number 3. I read number 4. Maar ek was nie so die mekaar soos so smarties wat sê die chameleon on a smartie box. I didn't know which color, where I was going, whatever. And then the devil started, because I was in those dark circles, the devil started to show me his power in a sense. And we were at my mom and dad's beach house, and I was lying. And that was just that January that year, 2001, January 2001. I was lying, we had a small sausage dog, Toffee was his name, Vorsoinkie. Now Toffee had hierdie jaar getata gesê, he was 14 years old. But me and Toffee was lying, my mom's dad beach house was very small, I was lying in the kitchen. I was lying there with the dog on the mattress on the floor, and everybody was sleeping already. And the next moment, I'm actually asleep, and I wake up, but it's that where you should be in my car. And the dog starts going next to me. And there's a fear that comes upon me, and I wanted to lift my head to see whether there's someone outside, or why is this dog going on like this? And I couldn't lift my head. And at that moment, it felt like Oster Rand standing on my chest, and the other foot standing on my forehead. Druk het net so. And the dog's going langs my. And I can't get up. I couldn't breathe. I struggled to breathe. I was like, and all I could get out was, help, help. And nothing helped. And then that small voice again that said, read day one, came and said, just ask Jesus. And I said, help, Jesus, help. And when I mentioned the name of Jesus, that thing lifted off me. The dog went to the window, at the window, and then suddenly the peace just came over me. The dog stopped grrring, and he climbed back into the bed. And there I laid in the peace of God. And I thought, yeesh, wat gaat die aan? And I didn't tell anybody because I thought, I'm mad. He's not iets lekker met my nie. So I left it there. And then I started asking God. I said, Lord, I'll go back to church again. I went back to Stellenbosch in my third year. And I started going back to our church. It wasn't Shofar then. And I sat there on the gallery. There was about 2,000 students. And every Sunday there will be a group of about 100 in the front in the church, jumping up and down, waving their hands, clapping to the Lord. And the others of us will just stand there. I remember sitting there on the gallery. It was about February 2001. And I asked the Lord. That was probably my first earnest prayer. The other earnest prayers was when I wrote exams. Lord, please help me. Let I pass. And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, if that what they have is real, because you can't go on like this week after week after week, jumping up and down, throwing your hands in the air, clapping, and all the 90% of students just look at you, if this is not real. And I asked God, I said, Lord, if this is real, I want it. And God started taking me on a path. It was about 2 months, just to make a long story short. April 2001. I stood there and it was a whole week of sermons that they pronounced for the congregation. That Sunday I went and I thought, that's a chance. This is good enough that I just come every Sunday. I'm not going to go this whole week. And that Monday I was very, very uneasy and I actually went. And when I decided to go, I got peace and I went. And the Tuesday night I also went to the services. And there was something changing inside of me. We were a small group then, only 200 people there. And that Tuesday night my dad was looking for me. He probably thought I was pushing up Stassenberg's share price again. And he phoned me and he couldn't get hold of me. And I phoned him back and he asked, waar was jy, Buta? Or waar is jy? Normally when they phone me 10 at night, I'm somewhere. And I said, no, I was just at church. I just walked next to the river, just spending time on my own a bit because I feel weird. And there was just a silence. I said, Dad, I don't know what's happening, but there's something happening inside of me. That next day, it was Wednesday, I went again to the service. And every time the people will worship, because now I was in this group. I couldn't sit on the gallery. I was in this mall group at Opa Afsprung. And I'll just sit there in the middle. I can't remember what the preacher preached. I can't remember what the sermon was all about. I can't remember anything. I remember at the end there was worship and praise happening. And I stood there, and at that moment while we were praising and worshiping God, or they were actually, I was just standing there, I felt the presence of God in my life for the first time. I felt God coming around me with His presence. And inviting me back, inviting me in. That night I didn't have people to pray with me or anything. I just said, Lord, I'm sorry for missing you. I never knew it was like this. I said, Jesus, take my life. And I've known darkness. I remember that night so clearly. I stood there. I remember I just closed my eyes and I saw God's light coming. And as this light came, the darkness inside of me just left. And that light of God came into me, and I was free. Everything. I just sensed. I've never had that freedom in my whole life up till that stage. I remember the band was playing, and it was, dit het net gevoel asof dit raak nou net soos, ek's in die hemel. And the next thing I knew, I stood there. I was crying. I was laughing at the same time. And both of my hands were in the air. Because I've seen the light of Christ. And that's what it's all about when it comes to freedom. Is to come to God and say, Lord, I want my joy of my salvation. And that's what God has been restoring to me personally the last 3 months. It's coming in again where I say, Lord, so many times, even if you work full-time for the church or whether you don't work full-time for the church, there's passions in our lives that takes the passion of Christ that we are supposed to have for Jesus. And that joy of our salvation coming back again, that joy of coming and saying, Lord, it's not what I have done. I didn't call on God to say, Lord, come and save me. He came to fetch me. None of us ever called on God and say, like that one song that Delirious sing, that I found Jesus. They're actually unscriptural. They must actually sing, Jesus found me. John 15. Because you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And that's what God does. That's the grace of God. So when God says that George, or wherever all the visitors come from, your town will be saved, then God will fulfill his promise. When God says your people will see freedom, then he will fulfill his promise because he does it. No one else does it. I remember I was gave my life to the Lord, April 2001. I left everything. Die Tassenberg en die goedjies het net so maklik gegaan. Daar was geen, I didn't even doubt because I was reading the Bible. I remember I was lying in my, because I couldn't, I had a room that I shared with my flatmates. And I couldn't lie in the same room because he couldn't sleep when my light was on. Because I read the Bible, I would read till 3 o'clock in the morning. I would just go lie in the bath. I don't put water in, I just lie there with my clothes because that's the only place where I could have good light. The light in the living room was very dull. So the bathroom had a nice white light. I would lie in the bath just reading the Word of God the whole time. But it was so amazing. But there was one thing that I couldn't lose. I couldn't stop smoking. So I thought, Lord, sheesh, dis moeilik. As jy 'n rasta wil raak, moet jy ook op 'n rook. En nou is ek 'n Christen en nou kan ek nog steeds hier op 'n rook hê. And I thought, yeah, this is tough business this. And I remember I would every day, those of you who know Stellenbosch, then Dorp Street is a BP. Now BP is open for 24 hours a day. And every day I would wake up, I would say, Lord, yesterday was my last day I would ever smoke. And I'll go through the whole day with a whole, no cigarette at all. I would go through that whole day. I would go lie in my bed at 11 or half past 11, if I'm not reading the Bible in the bath. And I would go to bed and I can't fall asleep. I just can't fall asleep. And then half past 2, 3 o'clock, I'll climb on my bicycle. And it's like, wind so koud, jou oor traan so. And I'll drive down Dorp Street. I've got 50, those days it was 50 cents, can you believe it? And you buy one box of matches, because I'm throwing the box of matches away every day by faith. And I buy one cigarette. Ek sê, een entjie, en dan sit nog hy stuiwissend rooi, hoor, poef, hy gooi vir jou. So I smoke it after I've come to my place, want as ek so half bietjie dronken rui op die fiets, is dit nie lekker nie. And I smoke it, and I maak hy sigaret dood, and I say, Lord, that's the last one. And then some weeks I'll go for 3-4 days, and just dan moet klim ek weer op die fietsie, en dan gat ek. And I felt so bad, and those days I didn't understand that you can pray with people, and people can lay hands on you, and then it will be gone. So I struggled with my own, die hele tyd. But that year, December 2001, I was in a meeting, and I was struggling, because I wanted to show God, Lord, I actually love you. I want you to understand that I'll make this thing go away by my own. That was my heart. That was my attitude. And it's a good attitude, but sometimes God doesn't want that attitude. He wants us just to say, Lord, take it. And it was December 2001, we were sitting in a meeting there, and the lady just stood there that was ministering. She said, there's someone here that's addicted to a substance, and you've been trying to lose it since the day that you gave your life to Christ. And you know what's the good news for you tonight? Is that you can't lose it by yourself. But God comes tonight and he says, he delivers you from it. From that day, I was delivered. Just like that. And it was so amazing for me. I couldn't speak in front of people. That's what you know, he's seen for now, and this is a miracle. And the lady told me, she said, I went to her, she said, even after she gave the word, now I'm sitting there in my chair, I've never heard of these people that can speak into your life. And I said, delivered, but ek's nou bang. And she says, yeah, and this person will even come and testify later in the week, because we had a whole week conference for Service for Christ. So after 2 days, I go to the Tanya. I said, Tanya, het die persoon al uitgekom oor hierdie substance? So I said, nee, they're still waiting for the person. Ek sê, o, jesus jong, wat is die mense, hoe is hulle skaam of iets? En ek het die moed by mekaar geskraap, en I said, Tanya, dis ekke. So smiles, she says, no, no, it's you, the Lord showed me that night. I said, oof, nou raak ek weer bang, hierdie mense. And she said, but will you testify for us? I said, Tanya, ek kan nie voor mense praat, there's no way. She said, but please, it will just build the people's faith. I said, there's no way. She said, we've got 4 nights left, you can choose a night. I said, I'm not going to choose a night, you must just tell me one night, kom. I mustn't be warned beforehand. And then I actually spoke in front of those people, and people's lives were changed through it. A month later, I was in front of a crowd of 900 people in Bloemfontein as well, giving the same testimony, because God just wanted to open it up for me. And that's still the same in my life. So many times in our lives, if it's whether it's now nicotine, or whether it's thought patterns, or whether it's attitude in our heart, or whatever it is, God wants to deliver us from that. He wants to bring us to that place of freedom where we are free indeed. Where John 8 verse 36 becomes our slogan. If the Son has set me free, I am free indeed. Boof. And sometimes God takes us through a season. Sometimes God takes us through a place like these guys on the road to Emmaus. He could have told them right there, listen, I'm the Christ. Open their eyes right there. But he doesn't. Because there's something that happens when God knows when to act on our lives. But I know that God wants to do it tonight, and he wants to do it in the next 3 weeks as well. Where he wants to change us so that we can see his glory. But before I go on, I've got one more scripture to go. I'm just going to watch a short DVD clip.
How do I know?
I know because I was restless.
How do I know? Because I was wild.
Because I was addicted.
I was lost.
Because I was empty.
I know because I was living behind a mask.
How do I know Jesus is alive?
Because he lives in me.
Jesus did what no one else could do for me.
He took the punishment
for my failures,
my wrong decisions,
my selfishness,
my pride,
and my sin.
He was beaten.
He was mocked.
He was tortured,
crucified,
and buried for me.
But on the third day,
he did exactly what he said he would do.
Jesus rose up
and walked right out of the tomb.
Summer of 1985,
July of 2007,
February 2005, June 2003,
and in August 1995,
he walked into my life.
And I've never been the same since.
Now I am truly living.
Now I am sober.
I am at peace.
I am fulfilled.
Now I am free.
Now I'm found.
My God,
my Savior,
my best friend,
my Lord,
my Jesus,
is alive.
The tomb may be empty,
but my heart is full.
April 2001. My life can never be the same. Ons lewens kan nie anders te wees meer as God net ingryp nie. If Jesus comes and he rescues us, because that is his business, he rescues those who are destitute, those who are broken, those who are hopeless, those who don't understand freedom, those who don't know freedom, those who don't know peace. He comes and he rescues. He brings life. And it's amazing Just understand that he wants to bring us back to the joy of our salvation. Isaiah 12, and I'm going to end with this. Isaiah 12, verse 2 to 4 says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted.'" And it's so amazing when God comes and he speaks about that, where he says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And speaking about that passion, where I said that we need to come back to the passion of Christ in our lives, verse 2 that says so amazingly, it says, "He has become my salvation." He hasn't just brought my salvation, he has become my salvation. And it's so amazing tonight what we're actually going to do. We're going to sing two songs again. So the band, if you can come to this front, it will be appreciated. And before we go on, I just want us to stop here and just sit a bit and focus on God's presence. Because God wants us to enter into that joy of our salvation, that place of coming to a place where we say, "But God, you have become my salvation. And I draw from, with joy, I draw from the wells, that waters of salvation. Because no one can bring it to us but God. He's the only one that comes." And it's so amazing that that DVD, it's not a massive DVD, it's a bit American as well. But it's so amazing just to come and see, but man, each and every one of us has a date where God said, "Out of darkness into my marvelous light, you come." Not because of what we have done, not even because we said, "Lord, come and save me." Jesus stands and he says, "I want to save you. Just come in." I remember that day in April 2001 when I stood there, I walked out of that church building and God started showing me all the people all across my life's path that he actually sent to me that was giving Jesus to me. And I just ignored it. And God didn't give up on me. And he's not giving up on any one of us here tonight. But before we go on, I just want us all to close our eyes. And I just want to ask one question. And this is a question that nobody asked me in that day in April 2001, but I'm so sure if someone stood there and asked the same question, I would have responded to that. And I want to ask tonight if there's anybody here tonight. So enige iemand hier vanaand. And you know that you're like that two guys on that road. You've heard the words of God maybe tonight. You've heard the words of God before. And your heart always burns when you hear it. But you don't recognize that it's actually Jesus' words in your life. And what Jesus wants to do in your life, he wants to come as the one that brings salvation. He wants to be the one that is the Savior. He wants to be that one that brings you that water of salvation where you can come with joy tonight and say, "Jesus, I want to take it. I want to take it." So I'm going to, as every eye is closed, because this is a time between you and God, if you maybe have, maybe tonight for the first time, just want to say, "Jesus, I want your saving water. I want your living water. I want to see you for who you are. I want to come out of darkness into your marvelous light." Then we want to pray with you after the service. And I just want you to raise your hand if that's you tonight. Jy kan net sê, "Here, dis ek." En ek gaan nie vir jou spectacle maak. Ek gaan jou nie vanaand vorentoe roep of niks. En jy kan net na die tyd saam met my kom bid. Jy kan net sê, "Lord, I want to respond to that. Lord, I want to actually come tonight into your kingdom of light." Is daar enige iemand so vanaand is? Anybody like that? Enige iemand so vanaand? Dankie, Jesus. Yes, Lord. If you may be shy, as jy bietjie skaam is vanaand, en jy wil nie jou hand opsteek nie, ek gaan nie, dis ook om gesê, freedom is action without compulsion, so I'm not going to force anything on you tonight. But please, if God has been speaking to you tonight, or maybe not just tonight, but tonight was a build-up of something that he has been speaking in your life, is just to come and to say, "Lord, I want to surrender for the first time. I want to surrender and I want to come in. I want to see Jesus." Then as a belief, please come afterwards, come to me. Just say, "Paul, ek was bietjie skaam gewees vanaand, maar bid saam met my. I want to see my Savior." Amen.